So I want you to think back to when you first began to learn how to drive a car, and to remember the kind of emotions, the kind of things that you went through. Growing up on the country, we would first drive the cars around the paddocks, so that was all very well and good. I still remember the first time after I got my L's, and I went with my dear mother out around Bega. It was all going quite well, until another car came in the opposite direction, and I was just like, ah! And, you know, just kind of drove off the side of the road to avoid contact with the car. All this kind of came back to mind a few weeks ago when I took a friend out for driving lessons. She wasn't too bad as we went on the, you know, the kind of country roads the other side of Campbelltown, and everything went fairly well, and my car made it back in one piece, which the Catholic Church, I'm sure, is very grateful for. Just the sense that there's so many things when you first begin that just don't really make a lot of sense. And it's only, you know, as the years go by, you begin to interiorize all of these rules and regulations to the point that I'm sure that most of you, when you get into a car now, don't really even think too deeply about it. You just get in and drive off. All of those external things that at the beginning seemed so weird and so abstract have now just become part of us, to the point where we don't have to process and ponder these things. In lots of ways, that's really what God is wanting us to experience with His laws. To the point that we still have to think about a law, that we still have to remember, oh yeah, it's Sunday, so I have to go to Mass. Or there's a person across the street there who's kind of annoying, but I really shouldn't kill them. To the point where we have to actually think, oh yeah, there's a commandment that says that that's wrong. We haven't actually interiorized it. We haven't allowed that to enter deeply inside us. And that is what God hoped would happen with Israel. When He first called this people, well, it began with just one person, Adam, and even then with Noah and his family, and then Abraham and his family. And then eventually it grew from just one person to a couple, to a family, to a tribe, to a nation. Then God wanted these external structures and rules and regulations that probably didn't make a lot more sense in those days than they do now. But that law, that structure, that exoskeleton, if you like, was necessary in order to provide the framework and the structure around which and within which the people of God would be formed and fashioned as God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of God. And yet, as the prophet Jeremiah acknowledges today, they weren't able to really understand these laws. Like many Christians, many Catholics to this day still have struggled to understand some of the teachings and laws of the church and of God. And so there was this failure to really interiorize the law. It just remained this external structure supporting the life of Israel, but not really animating it, not really providing the very heart of that experience. What God wants, and it's such a beautiful reading that we have today, is this sense, no, let's leave the external structure and let's go deeper. Let's take that external structure and plant it deeply inside every heart. And this is the promise that God makes through Jeremiah today. This profound prophecy in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. So it's easy to remember this verse. That the Lord Himself will plant His law deep inside every one of our hearts. That is His promise. I don't know whether you noticed it when it was being read. It seems that even Jeremiah is struck by how amazing this is. You know, what incredible words he's been asked to speak. There are five times during these short verses when he says, "It is the Lord who speaks." He's so struck by this that he's wanting to reinforce that this is coming from God's own mouth. This sense that this is what God is calling His people to. Amazing as it seems, that God says through Jeremiah, there will come a time when we won't need to say to one another, brother, let me teach you, let me instruct you, let me provide you with this guidance, because everyone will already know the power of this law. People will already experience the freedom that this law is meant to provide, this opportunity to experience this true life with God. What we, of course, know and believe is that when Jesus the Christ came to earth, when he experienced that fullness of life, when he began to teach and minister, that suddenly we began to see what the law of God looked like, not just in tablets of stone, but in the living human flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. Suddenly this man began to embody what this perfect law of God looked like. We began to experience in hearing the teaching of Jesus, in watching him work, what these laws were all about at their heart. Jesus began to proclaim this New Testament, this new covenant, on the night before he died, when he took the cup. And every Mass we remember this. He offers the cup and tells us that this is a new covenant in his blood, a New Testament. What we experience within our church is this possibility that Jesus himself, who John's Gospel introduces us to us, the very Word of God, Jesus himself comes to us and is present not just in the community, not just in the priests, not just in the Word of God that is proclaimed, but he's present when the bread and the wine are transformed into his very body and blood. And so we're invited then to come forward and to eat of the Word of God, to allow the very covenant, the very testament of God to be taken into our bodies, so that indeed God can begin to teach us deep inside. The very words and laws of God can begin to be received, not just externally, but deep within our hearts, our lives, our souls, so that we can be transformed by God's very word. That's why when in the gospel today, some Greeks, people who are outsiders, people who are not part of God's chosen people, when they come and seek out Philip, because Philip is a Greek speaker as well, when they say, Philip, and they put this question that should be on every one of our lips, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And so when Philip then goes with Andrew and takes this message to Jesus himself, Jesus is then able to say, well, now my hour has come. Now all of this is being fulfilled. Now this covenant is finally breaking into the world. Now the boundaries of this covenant are extending beyond the external boundaries of Israel. They're beginning to move into all of those people. Every nation under earth is now able to receive this law of God. And so Jesus is then able to go into that exultant declaration about the seed dying and the seed having to break open in order to allow all of that experience of God to come to birth. And so we're invited to really allow God's word, God's law, to be implanted in us. When you come forward to receive communion today, come with a deep hunger. Come with a deep desire to receive the very life of God. It's not just bread. It's the very essence of God's self. It's the very life and spirit and power of God at work in our lives. God wants to teach us. God wants to instruct us. God wants to provide that very life deep inside us, to nourish us, to offer us this possibility of truly living within this new covenant. Not to break it, not to allow all of these externals to get in the way, but to allow God to teach us deep inside our hearts. Let's say yes to God. Let's really allow God's grace and God's law to penetrate deeply inside our hearts and our lives today during this Eucharist.